In Season with Sake. With Sake.
Right, so myself and Pastor Allison last week touched on God's will for marriage. What does marriage look like through the lens of God? And this morning, he will be touching on the ABCs of arguing. And he's joining us all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, that is Western Africa. And Pastor Allison, I thank you so much for joining us again this morning. And I want to jump right straight into it because of time, right? Now, there's a Bible marital clause, if I can put it in those terms, that says, then two shall become one. I would love for you to explain what that means in this context of, you know, the ABCs of arguing. Also, clear it out for us if that particular clause exempt married couples from arguing.
Thank you so much, Sake. God bless everyone listening. I would like to take you back to the beginning in Genesis. So didn't you hear that he made them a female and said that it is not good for man to be alone, and then he made them husband and wives, and therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. It doesn't exempt couples from arguing at all. As a matter of fact, it gives you the freedom to argue even more. I say that a lot to married couples in counseling. Now the fact that the both of you are compatible, it just makes the conflict more endurable. You know that very popular and cute motivational quote that we throw around carelessly? It was something like, marriage is not to be endured, but enjoyed. You know, we say that a lot, and we say that really quick, and we make it sound really pretty. Guess what? In marriage, if there is no endurance between a couple, it's going to be a crisis. If there's no endurance between a couple, they will never love, they will never grow together. There will always be points in a marriage where the husband is enduring something about the wife, and when the wife is enduring something, you're quarreling because trying to bring correction to that. You quarrel from a place of peace, you quarrel from a place of understanding, you know, you fight from a place of oneness, you're going to love each other, you're still going to apologize to each other. So becoming one does not take away fighting. It just helps you fight better and smarter. It helps you fight with care.
Sure, I love that. You fight better and smarter, and you're actually fighting with care. Now, I want to know, how can one discern between healthy and unhealthy arguing?
Thank you, Sake. Healthy arguing and unhealthy arguing. Well, to me, this just talks about picking your battles. Picking the right battle or picking the wrong battles. I say this every time to couples. You know, not all matters are worth fighting about. Certain things you just turn a blind eye to. Certain things you just turn a deaf ear to. A happy couple is a union between, you know, one who is successfully deaf and one who is successfully blind. And I find that quite interesting because that principle is quite true in marriage. You don't fight or argue about everything. Not everything is a permissible offense. No, you don't do that all the time. You learn to pick your battles. Okay, so number one, we fight about issues that are truly important. Some of us just fight about anything and everything. You know, you use the bathroom, you didn't tidy up, it's a problem. You dress this way, you dress that way, you said this, you said that. You are picking battles that are not really truly important. And then when you start fighting about little things and picking a fight over little issues, it doesn't become an argument anymore. It doesn't become an issue anymore. It becomes you complaining. And that's the problem many couples experience in their marriage. They complain about everything. Every single thing is a point of complaint. No, certain things you just don't worry about it. You ignore to bring it up another day, another time, in a better situation. So know what issues are important and what issues are not important. Number two, pause for a moment and review your motivation. Sometimes we pick issues with our spouses, not because of what they have done, but because of what somebody else has done to us. And then we are transferring that aggression to our spouse. Learn to ask yourself, before I lash out at my wife, before I respond to my husband, before I attack this particular thing that my spouse has done, am I doing this because I'm angry over what my spouse did? I'm doing this because I'm angry over what my boss said to me. I'm angry over that business proposal that didn't go through. I'm angry over that job that didn't quite work out. I'm angry because the bus driver said something crazy to me. I'm angry because I didn't have a great day. And then I'm coming home, disappointed, hurt, already offended. And then I'm transferring that aggression to my spouse. So always ask yourself before picking any point of argument. Ask yourself this very important question: what is my motivation for this? Am I seeking to correct my spouse over this thing, or I'm just seeking to be right? There's a way you go to work and you've been told that you can't do that. We all have, a lot of us have that crazy boss at work that never sees anything good in whatever we do. Then you imagine being in that kind of an atmosphere for a whole day, and then you come back home, and then your spouse is doing something, or your spouse does something that you don't quite appreciate, and then you take that as an opportunity to prove to your spouse that you know how to do something right. And it is not your spouse instigating that argument. It is born out of a place that doesn't have anything to do with your marriage at all. And then you come home as a man and start picking little offenses in what your wife does just to prove to yourself that you are good at something. At least you are good at correcting your wife now. Okay, so learn to find out the motivation for anything. Number three, I would say don't react immediately. Sometimes, you wait to argue another day, you wait to fight another day, you wait to bring it up. It is not every offense or every issue that you bring up immediately it happens. Sometimes just sleep over it, think over it. One of the ways that this can help you are in three ways, actually. Number one, if you delay a response or you delay your reaction, it'll help you think about better ways to present it to your spouse. It'll help you figure out better ways, better tone. You'll be calmer at that time. The second thing, advantage, is it'll help you review your own role. Sometimes, when you react in the heat of the moment, you don't tend to think about how you contributed to your partner's behavior. And the third thing is that it'll help you approach that matter in a better situation, not in the heat of the moment, in a better atmosphere, at a better time when you're in bed, when you're when you're having dinner, it'll help you present that same situation in another matter. The third thing is agree to disagree. This is very important. You can't always be right all the time. Give your spouse the opportunity to be right. And this is how I say it, even in premarital counseling. I say, pre-forgive your spouse in advance. Give them chances upon chances. Give them the opportunities to be right. Give them the benefit of. So when you are approaching any matter, don't speak conclusively. Don't use conclusive terms like you did this, you did that, you are this, you are that. No, use terms that makes your partner or your spouse feels you are listening to them. Terms like, babe, did you do that? Babe, was this how things went? Babe, where were you? Did anything happen last Tuesday? As opposed to saying, you were at Mandela's last Tuesday and you did this. No, rather say, did anything happen last Tuesday? As opposed to saying, and your mother told me that you did this, you did that. No, don't say that. Instead, say things like, babe, did you have a conversation with your mom? Was there anything that was said about me? Now you're giving your spouse the opportunity to come up plain, come up honest, and then share their own side of the story with you. Okay, one more before we move to the next question. This is a policy that I will encourage every home to emulate, which is before confronting your spouse, before approaching them about anything that you're uncomfortable about, make sure you already have a solution to that thing. Make sure you already have a solution to that thing. So before talking about, before getting angry and lashing out at your spouse about how they leave the toilet seat up, before having that argument, before picking that fight, make sure you've already sat down and thought about the solution to that problem. And that is one of the things, the issues that is plaguing our marriages today. We argue, 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 argue for 5 hours. At the end of the day, nothing is done. At the end of the day, nothing is solved. Rather, we postpone the argument for a part two another day, still talking about problems and no solutions whatsoever. So before talking about talking to your spouse about how they come home late, before talking to your wife about how meals are not ready in time, before talking to your wife about how the kids are not being taken care of, before talking to your husband about how he's not emotionally available to you or to the home, sit down and ask yourself, how can this be fixed? How can this be sorted? So that when you are having that argument, you are not talking problems, problems, problems. You are rather preferring solution, solution, solution. So rather than saying, babe, you are not always in the house, you don't pay attention to the children's homework, you don't care about the school, you don't even know the name of your children's school teacher. It is okay to point out what the problem is, but prefer solution instead. So after saying all of that, you can now go ahead to say, babe, would you mind picking up the kids from school sometime? Would you mind dropping them off sometime? Would you mind, talking with the teacher about the next homework that comes home? Would it Now you are being reasonable, now you are being realistic, and now you are being caring. Because now you are not just saying, you are not doing this, you are not doing this, you are not doing that. Now you are saying, oh, you are not doing this. This is how you can do that better. Right, and that is how to fight well, and that is how to pick our battles in marriage.
I'm learning a lot, and I hope that we're taking mental notes if you are driving or if you have a pen and paper close to you. I hope you're taking notes down. Now, to get to the meat of things, Pastor Allison, what are the ABCs of arguing? Talk us through those.
The ABCs of arguing. There are laws to arguing. There are laws. Every couple must learn this. There are principles that you must have to apply to, when arguing. Very important principles. Number one, attack the issue, not the person. Don't attack your spouse. There's nothing wrong with your spouse. There is nothing wrong with you. There is everything wrong with the issue. It is not her. It is her character. It is not her. It's a big mouth. It is not him. It is his pride. Do not attack the person. Do not attack your spouse. Attack the issue instead. Rather than saying, this is how you do it. You are crazy. You are stupid. Rather than use those words, you are now deviating from the issue to attacking the person. Don't attack the person, attack the issue. Babe, this is what we need to do. This was what happened. This was what happened. This is how I know you can do better. Don't attack the person. B, brainstorm solutions. I said that already, and I'll take the opportunity to, just say that again. Brainstorm solutions. Don't just argue for argument's sake. Don't just try and correct because you know the right thing to do, but offer solutions. That is how, an argument becomes productive at the end. When, if at the end of our 1 hour of yelling and shouting, we both sit down to say, from now henceforth, we do this, we do that, we apply this. Now, that's a good argument. Number three, calm things down by taking time out. You don't have to settle every issue the same day. Sometimes, when you notice something your spouse is doing, when there's something to argue about, day one, I call it the 3 days principle. Day one, point it out to your spouse. Babe, this is what you did that I don't quite appreciate. And let your partner speak and then leave it there. Tomorrow, offer solutions. The third day, offer reminders. That is, give your partner the opportunity to make a mistake, to forget the solution, so that you can remind them and you can correct them again. Number D, deal with the here and now. Talk about things now. Stop bringing back the past. This is how couples fight so poorly. They bring up yesterday's issue today and even bring up tomorrow's pending issues to today, and they make things so complicated because when you are fighting about me leaving the teacup on the table, and you are bringing up how I left the toilet seat last week, and then you bring up how I will always leave the toilet seat open in the future. Now that complicates everything. So if I was kind of a husband that I'm the humble and the noble type, and I want to listen to you and listen to what you're saying, you've lost me already because you reminded me of something that I already apologized for. He said, we're never going to talk about it again. You reminded me of it. And then you even prophesied into the future that I will keep being a fool. I will keep misbehaving. I will keep being the one that will. I won't listen to you. You've lost me. Maybe another time, God help me. But at that point, I don't want to hear none of anything you have to say. Deal with the here and now. Don't bring up yesterday's issues today and don't prophesy tomorrow's issues that have never even happened, right? Number three, equal time goes to both participants. This is talking about when the both of you are having an argument, take turns to let each other speak. Just be quiet and listen. Say nothing. At the end of the day, don't argue. Just say, yes, I've heard you. Now, what do we do? Number F, focus on solving the problem. Don't drag anyone into the matter. Number H, there's nothing to lie about. There's nothing to lie about. Express yourself and be very honest when you're having an argument. However, apply wisdom to that as well. You know, there are certain things that you know that if you say will escalate the problem. Mm. Then just keep it to yourself. And maybe find other ways to say it or find other avenues to say it. All right, these are just a few ABCs for quarreling. And never, ever use abusive words on each other. Never, ever. In my marriage, my wife and I, we never use abusive words, even when we are joking. You know those these couples who where they're joking and they say, you are a fish, you are a dog, you cow, you... And they think it's a joke. And you expect your spouse to behave like an angel after prophesying and calling him a monkey. He will behave like a monkey because words are powerful, words are seed. And another thing that is very important in an argument is don't bring up secrets or weaknesses. You're having an argument with your husband, you're having an argument with your wife, and you're bringing up their secrets, you're bringing up their medical conditions, you're bringing up their challenges, you're bringing up their vulnerabilities. That's bad. We might end up settling that issue there and then, but it has killed trust. It has killed confidentiality, and that's not so good. Sure. So these are just a few that we cannot handle.
I can imagine there is a list long of those, but because of time, Pastor Allison, as I'm about to, you know, let you go, I know that you also mentioned in our chat before that you have a book that you'll be releasing on the 1st of December, which I'm so excited for singletons, for the singles. And I'm so excited for that. And I hope that we could chat about that in the near future. But I would love for you to touch on another passage in the Bible that speaks about us not letting the sun set on our anger. Can you please touch on this?
Yes, never let the sun go down on an argument. That is a very solid instruction. Okay, it means that never go to bed angry, never go to bed with offenses, never go to bed with grudges. You know, couple advice to talk things through. Using my marriage as a case study, we never go to bed angry over anything. Okay, I'm not saying that we solve every matter before we go to bed. I'm saying we don't go to bed with offenses. We don't go to bed with malice. So my in our home, we have quiet time where we talk about issues that have happened during the day that we need to talk about. And that time is just shortly after a night devotion, shortly after praying at night. So if there is anything I have towards my wife, before prayer, we'll talk about it before we pray.
Yeah.
So during our night devotion, our devotion time, if there is any lingering matter that needs, you know, our attention, we talk about it before that time because we practice what the scripture said. It was Jesus who said, if you're presenting any gift to me, and then you remember that you have an offense with your neighbor, leave your gift at the altar and quickly rush back to your neighbor, make peace, then come back and offer your sacrifice. So it is that principle that is also guarding our home. Whenever we have an offense, whenever we have a disagreement, we don't pray over that disagreement. We discuss it before we pray, because praying over that disagreement will be in vain. So we discuss it first. Babe, this was what you did. Babe, this was what you did. You know, I'm sorry. And then we make peace. And then we pray, because that scripture is consistent in everything. Okay. You must have to leave your gift at the altar, go and reconcile with your spouse, then come back and offer your gift. Funny enough, Saki, I can tell you as a counselor, I've been doing this for more than 8 years, and I can tell you for a truth that there are couples who go on prayer retreats when they are not in talking terms with their spouse. There are men, there are husbands who will lock themselves up in one room and pray for 3 days while they are keeping malice with their wives. So how does that work? I would advise such a man to come out of that prayer, get some good food, eat a lot, eat till you are full.
Yeah.
Apologize to your wife, discuss the issues, then go back to your retreat and pray. It doesn't make any sense that the husband and the wife have not been talking for 3 days, but you are locked, you've locked yourself up somewhere, or you've gone to a mountain somewhere all in the name of a retreat, fasting and prayer for 3 days. It doesn't work like that. You must have to first go and reconcile with your offender, and then come back and offer sacrifice. So yes, never let the sun go down on your anger. Discuss it. You may not settle the matter there and then, but look at each other and say, babe, when we are in bed and I want to wrap my arms around you, I'll be free to do that. When I'm in bed, I'll be free to fart, because I know you won't be angry, you won't strangle me, you know what I'm saying? So make peace before you go to bed. Make peace before you go to bed. The issues may not be sorted, but make sure you are going to bed without grudges or offenses.
Sure. Yes, make peace before you go to bed, so that, you know, you can fart if you want to fart. You're not going to hold it in. Because of time, Pastor Allison, but where can our listeners, you know, follow more with regards to this particular chat that we're having on your socials? How can they get a hold of you if they like, you know, counseling? If they can't afford a ticket to Lagos, how can they get a hold of you on the socials?
Check me out on Instagram. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, using the name Allison Jacinto. Allison Jacinto. There is a link right there on my Instagram page and also on Facebook, or you can just go to www.allisonjacinto.org, and then you can, you know, make an appointment. You can get my books all in soft copies. So that is how you can find me. Look forward to having a conversation with you.
Fantastic stuff. Pastor Allison, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you join us every Tuesday morning, chatting about all things marriage. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much for having me, Saki.
And I will be giving you again those details as to how you can get a hold of him on social, and also, you know, follow him with regards to that new book that he will be dropping or releasing or publishing. What am I saying? First of December, right?